This is InvestTalk. Independent thinking, shared success. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Thursday, August 18th, 2022. Justin Klein is still on vacation. He's on vacation the rest of this week, and he'll be back next week, so I'm filling in for him. I'm Steve Peasley, and I look forward to answering your questions. Any investment questions, any financial questions you have, we'll talk about them. Okay, but they have to be in the financial area. No, nothing else other than that. And the phone number is always open. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So even if we're live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, but even if we're not, you still can call and leave your message, leave your questions. We'll get to them on the next program. So I really would appreciate if you did that. And we've got a pretty packed podcast today. So, you know, but I still want your calls. My focus point concerns the story. Earnings from America's largest retailers give insight to consumer sentiment. So we're going to talk about that today. I think it's pretty important to know how well or how poorly the retailers are. They've had a huge inventory that they're working off. And why do they need to work that off? What happened? So we'll talk about it. Time permitting, I have several other topics I'd like to talk about. The Fed minutes from last meeting, I thought they were interesting. I'd like to share some of the points that they made. And there was some economic news out today I want to discuss. Leading economic indicators was one of them. Leading economic indicators, which is made up of 10 leading economic indicators, and they've combined it into just one number, and we'll talk about that. And did you see the existing home sales? So we'll talk about those things. Is this a new bull or a bear? Are we still in a bear market? Is this a bear market rally? In other words, is it a bear trap? And I have some information that I want to share with you. I read the numerous articles today and tried to put things together, and I'm going to share that with you if we have time. So what did the market do today? The market was up. Not up very much, but it eked out a gain. The Dow was up 19 points, the Nasdaq up 27 points, and the S&P 500 rose 10 points. So not a lot, but it was positive. The market's trying awful hard to maintain this rally from the June lows. Here it is, August 18th, so trying to rally through the summer. Anyways, those are the things we're going to talk about. But, of course, I also have some calls, the listener line calls in the voice bank. We're talking about Riven. Hopefully we'll get to Riven. We'll get to Cigna and Real Inc. There's three of them there. So we've got lots of stuff to talk about. You can call right now, live, 888-99-CHART. So let's go to our first caller.
Hi, Justin or Stevie. First, I wanted to really thank you guys for the YouTube videos every Saturday. They're really great, and I look forward to them every week. I want to get your opinion on ticker symbol HASI, Hannon Armstrong. I was wondering if you think they would benefit from the Inflation Act. I've owned this company for about 2 years now. It hasn't really gone anywhere, but they do finance renewable infrastructure. Let me know your thoughts. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, this is a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, and we all know what they do. That means 90% of their income has to be paid out in the form of a dividend. Then they don't have to pay corporate income tax. It's a REIT providing debt and equity financing for sustainable infrastructure projects through the United States. So that act, I mean, we're talking about, what, $800 billion and $400 billion of it is directed at renewable, clean energy, clean this and that project. So this company should benefit from that. So it pays a 3.5% dividend. It's going to make $2.08 this year, $2.21 next year. Its earnings has been very steady. It's not inexpensive. It's a $42.54 stock. So that means we're looking at like an 18, 19 PE, and the five-year range is 10 to 47. Return equity is pretty good, 12%. Management owns 3%. I kind of like it. I kind of like it. Now, let's look at a chart, see what that looks like. It's coming off its bottom of $30, peaked right at the 200-day moving average, and has fallen off a little bit. I think I might be a little bit patient. If it breaks above the 200-day moving average, I buy it. Or if it retraces maybe 50% of the move from the low to the recent high, then that might, and then starts to turn sideways, I might buy it there too. I might be a little patient. I do like the stock. Okay? So we're heading to a break. I welcome your financial investment questions. No question is too simple or too complex. Well, it might be too complex for me. We'll see. You set the agenda, everybody. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Why do listener questions make InvestTalk better?
Which of these would you recommend?
Because each caller presents fresh questions in their voice.
I was curious if you still think aluminum has a ways to go from here.
When do I know the right time to take profits?
Should I be looking for an exit? Should I be holding here?
And listeners instinctively realize that InvestTalk uniquely offers a welcome dose of investing satisfaction.
I think you have a terrific show, and I've learned a whole lot.
Hey, guys, love your show. I've been listening for several years now, and I've learned a lot.
Justin Klein and Steve Peasley understand what investors need and want.
I would look at it from a tax perspective. If there's no tax implications, move on, find better ways to use that money.
I'm going with the odds. I think a half position now would at least get you in it and get you watching it so you won't lose track of it.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. InvestTalk is here to help. And when you download the free InvestTalk podcasts, don't forget to rate and review. The phone lines are open, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Lily from Big Bear. I'm just calling about the stock Rivian, R-I-V-N, the electric truck stock. What are your thoughts? It's about 37 right now. It's about 3% of portfolio. Just wondering your thoughts, and thanks. Bye.
Okay, Rivian Automotive manufactured electric vehicles and advanced electric vehicle accessories directly to consumers. The act that was just passed should benefit all electric vehicles and that whole industry because they're giving a lot of money away to the electric industry. They don't make any money. They've lose lots of money. They're going to lose $7.09 a share this year, and then $5.95 a share next year. And they're just starting to sell. I mean, a year ago they had $1 million in sales, then $54 million in the first quarter of that year. Then jumped to $895 million, and the most recent quarter, June quarter, $364 million in sales. So sales is going in the right direction, and it has lots of promise. Now, it's a $35.90 stock, down from, by the way, $160 a share. And it was just less than a year, came out in December. Remember I told you, don't buy any IPOs till after 6 months from its IPO date, very minimum. Doesn't make any money. This is a very high speculative stock. Doesn't mean you can't own it. It's either going to do very poorly or make you a lot of money. It's not going to be in the middle, I'm sure. So if this is one of many stocks that are much more solid than this, then it's okay to have. But it doesn't make money, and I don't like to own stocks that don't make money. So it's not for me. But I do think it has potential. Okay, my focus point today. Earnings from America's largest retailers give insights into the consumer sentiment. Now, We're talking about Walmart's earnings. Walmart's earnings were pretty darn good. They were up like 8 year over year, 8%. And that 8.4% and that in the second quarter is pretty strong. Now, before that, what happened is people were spending money on travel, not goods. They were spending money on services, not goods. So what happened is Walmart and all their ilk were stocking up at coming out of COVID, think they were going to have some, a buildup of buying because, you know, remember, they had trouble with the supply chain, so they're trying to build their inventory, and they got a little carried away and they have too much inventories. So now they're working off the inventory, and it seems like the consumer is stepping up to buy their inventory. So it seems like consumer sentiment is pretty strong, which, remember, the consumer drives our economy. 66% of our economy is based on what the consumer does. And there's lots of jobs right now. So right now, it appears we're not necessarily going into recession, but we are technically in a recession, 2 quarters in a row down. But we have high employment. You know, but on the other hand, unemployment claims has been going up this week. Every week, but this week it was flat, kind of flat. It's a very confusing time for everybody. So I think the consumer is pretty healthy. If they stay healthy, we won't go into any deeper recession. We'll probably work our way out. Now, if the Fed keeps raising rates, and they are, how far are they going to go? Will they go too far and push us in a recession? And that's a possibility. As a matter of fact, I think that's more than 50% shot that they will. Okay? Okay, let's pivot to an InvestTalk voice bank for a question that came in earlier. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, how you doing, Steve and Justin? This is Will from New Orleans. I'm giving you a call on, it's not really a stock question. It's more like a economic question. I see China is going through it with these, I think it's Evergrande. Evergrande is having like a, I think they're missing a payment or something. I'm not too, you know, familiar of the exact wording, but I did read that they have ghost cities in China. And it just seemed like China is just doing a lot of falsified things. Like they're just hiding the real truth and just putting out information. So my question is, I see Bridgewater, the world's largest hedge fund, sold $1 billion worth of Chinese stock. So I'm thinking, what do you think about the Chinese economy and what domino effect will that bring to our economy if Evergrande, you know, collapse? Just give me your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Actually, it's a very good question. Evergrande is a builder, one of the biggest, largest builder in there, and they were building apartments, apartment buildings, selling to the public, and they were selling them before they even built them. And how they got the money, okay, they got the money through bond sales and, you know, municipal bond sales and stuff. And so it's kind of a domino effect. They can't produce any more money. They ran out of money, and they didn't finish the buildings. Some of them they didn't even start, and the people have already bought the buildings, have mortgages that they're not paying. It's kind of collapsing. I think their economy is really in trouble. I saw a report that the economy is going to grow 4% this year. But you know what? You're right. We don't really know. They can hide a lot. They can't hide everything, but they can hide a lot. One thing it should tell us is that the demand on commodity prices is commodities are probably going to go down. Because you can't imagine how much pressure China puts on commodity prices and commodity supplies. So that's probably going to ease off a bit. They're still growing, but it's going to ease off. And I think that will help us get control of the inflation here in the United States and other places of the world. But one of the issues of inflation here in the U.S. that I don't see us controlling is wage inflation. I don't see that, you know, with the jobs we have and the jobs available and workers, you know, not going back to work because they don't feel like it and quitting their jobs, a high quit rate and demanding better benefits, and it just seems like wage inflation is going to continue. But that's a very good question. I think China's economy is in a lot worse shape than we know. And we probably will never know. They've been hiding it for years. It is Invest Talk Thursday, everybody. I'm ready to take your questions now. 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Steve or Justin?
Hi, this is Rick from Hawaii. What are your thoughts on writing put options?
My wife has a rollover 401k from a previous employer.
What's your question?
And I'm just wondering how you're able to predict these market reversals.
Right now, they've been under pressure. I think that buying opportunity is being set up.
IPOs are there for the vast majority of them to extract capital, extract money from the novice individual investor.
Here's Ken in Texas.
Hey, Steve, I got a lazy boy recliner that I love and my wife loves, and my son makes fun of me for buying because I'm 70 years old. But
do you own it or looking to buy it?
Now is a good time to call Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART.
Have you heard about Riskalyze? It's a brief question and answer form that you fill out online. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein will also get a copy of your responses. They can use the Riskalyze results to help you formulate a strategy that fits your investing risk tolerance. Learn more anytime and take the Riskalyze quiz at investtalk.com.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Kevin from La Crescenta, California. I'm calling regarding the stock REAL, R-E-A-L, the REAL REAL. A while back, maybe a year or two ago, you guys liked it when it was above 7.5. It's dropped down to about 3 now. And, I mean, slight trend up lately. But trying to find out what are your thoughts about it now. Trying to see if I should continue holding it. Is it going to come back? Or if it's time to just take the losses and move on to something else. I appreciate your time and look forward to hearing your answer on the show. Thank you.
Well, it's very difficult for me to believe that we liked it a year or so ago because of the fact that they've never made money. Now, we might like the concept, and this is the Real Real Inc. operates an online marketplace for consigned luxury goods. Okay? Sales is going quite well. 47% increase in the most recent quarter, 48% before that, flat that quarter before that, 53% the quarter before that. But they're not making any money. They're going to lose $1.69 a share this year, $1.20 a share next year. It's a $3.05 stock, a $287 million company, meaning it's very, very small. And even a year ago, it was still been under a $1 billion company. So it's a small company. And management owns 5%, but I don't like the fact that mutual funds are selling it. There were 294 mutual funds a year ago. Today, there's only 266 participating. They own 61% of the company. So, and they have huge debt. I don't like it. Okay, I'm just telling you, I don't like it because it doesn't make money. You ever call me up? I mean, Justin might have a different opinion on it, but I doubt it. If a company doesn't make money, generally I want to stay away from it. I don't like companies that don't make money. Focus on companies that make money. What's so hard about that? Why not? Why? See, don't try to pick the next 1,000% return company unless you're going to do with a very tiny part of your money that you know you're okay losing all of it. And that's what this stock is. This is a very speculative company. REAL is the symbol, everybody. Okay, Fed minutes from the last meeting were kind of interesting. They stated flat out they will be raising rates again. There's no question in their mind they're going to raise rates again. Even though they acknowledged that there was a solid decline in commodity prices, and including energy, and that would ease inflation pressures, but they still don't care. Okay, this is out of their minutes. Okay, they say it's not enough to stressing they want more pressure downward on inflation before they're going to stop. So I thought that was interesting. So that kind of tells me They're going to raise rates, of course. Our next meeting, by the way, is September 21st. I thought it was earlier in the month, but it's not. September 21st. And there's a 61% chance of a 0.50, a half percent hike. That's what it is right as it stands today. Those odds change all the time. The odds change over time. But I think it's going to be a 50%, a half a percent point, you know, 0.50 raise. But I have a feeling they're going to keep doing it. I think they're on a war path here, and they might go too far. We'll see what they say in their next minutes, but these minutes tell as clearly pointing that they're going to keep after it. They're going to keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. And I see inflation already backing off a little bit, but they don't care. Okay, let's put another caller financial question in, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, InvestTalk. I'd like to get your guys' expert opinion on Target, ticker symbol TGT. Would like to put it in my Roth IRA and kind of get a position. Just wanted to see what you guys think is the around, I guess, the price to pick it up at. This will be a long-term hold. Thank you guys so much.
I like Target a lot. TGT is the symbol. They recently gapped down to 137 as a low, and today they're 173. They gapped down from 220. Okay, so now it's 173. I think this is a good buy point. They might get back some of these recent gains, but they're going to make $12.06 a share next year. Okay, it's $173 stock. So that means the PE is probably, what, 18 or so? Let's see. 120, then maybe 19. Okay, cash flow is $19.79 a share. They pay a 2.5% dividend. They're growing 3-4% sales, and it's an $80 billion company. So it's one of those companies, as you point out, return on equity is 49%, by the way, which is very, very good. It's one of those companies, and they don't have a lot of debt, that you buy and put in your portfolio and ignore it. You try to buy it when it's on sale. That's what you do. If we don't go into a deep recession, this stock has probably hit bottom, about 140. Might retest that bottom, but who knows? I like it. I like it a lot. Okay? On the next Invest Talk, the story behind the headline. Home sales fell nearly 6% in July as the housing market slides into a recession. Okay? That we know that's happening. We've been reporting on it. Sales dropped about 20% from the same month a year ago. And one expert believes that the terms of the economic impact are going to be, and housing is going to be a recession. 888-99-CHART, everybody.
As you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. From years of experience, I can tell you this. Searching for and then hiring the right candidate, someone who is a good fit for your business, is not an easy task. That's why you will appreciate the power of LinkedIn. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then, add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know, every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/invest. That's linkedin.com/invest to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Invest Talk. For serious investors, it's all about achieving financial freedom. That's why the unbiased guidance offered by Steve and Justin is so valuable. The InvestTalk Anytime listener lines are open now, and Steve and Justin welcome your questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is Tyler from Los Angeles. I have a question for you about indexed variable annuities. You kind of talked about this on a previous podcast, but essentially I'm wondering your thoughts on these indexed variable annuities that have buffer protection. I was, you know, one was kind of came up in a discussion with me and another financial advisor, and they seem like a great deal. Let's say you take an IRA and you put it into indexed variable annuity. The downsides to this are the illiquidity because there's surrender charges for 6 years. But if you don't need this money, say, you know, you're my age, late 20s, early 30s, you know, you don't need this money till retirement anyways. The illiquidity isn't really an issue because you don't plan on touching it anyways, assuming it's not a Roth IRA. And they seem like a great deal, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Again, you have these buffers, downsides are illiquidity. You can, you know, you put it in an S&P 500 index fund, let's say, when you're tracking the S&P, and maybe the S&P is, you know, still not weighted exactly how you would put together an ideal portfolio, but given the fact that you have this buffer and the fact that also, you know, the majority of money managers don't outperform the S&P index to begin with, it seems like a pretty good deal, but I just wanted to get your thoughts. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, indexes is a good deal. I like indexing. You don't need to hire people like me if you don't want to. But annuities are expensive. You were talking about the buffer. Maybe I need to explain that quickly to everybody, what a buffer, what he's talking about. Some of these annuities now, and they're indexing annuities. It's an index annuity, so all it does is buy the index, okay? They buy a mutual fund, an index mutual fund. So you got to pay a fee to the annuity and pay a fee to the mutual fund. And, of course, you can't get out, or you can, but it will cost you a lot of money because they're selling this. Someone's getting commissions, usually 5% of whatever you put in goes to the salesperson. So you got to usually hold on to them for 10 years. But if you're a long-term holder like he suggested, that doesn't really worry about anything like that. So, remember, and there's two kinds of annuities. There's a fixed annuity and a variable annuity. We're talking about a variable annuity investing in an index. The guarantee that they're talking about, the buffer he's talking about, means that they guarantee that you will never lose money. The value of annuity will never go below your initial investment. And how can they say that? I mean, what happens if the market crashes? They'll still guarantee it. Now, it's not much risk to them, and there's not much, you know, danger for you, because there's been no period of 10 years, well, maybe one in the last 100 years, where the stock market ended up being down. So looking forward 10, 20, 30 years, they pretty much know that, and everybody knows, that the market's going to go up. It has an upward bias of 8 to 10% a year. So then that guarantee, I wouldn't pay much attention to it. I don't think it has much worth. And if you want to index, why don't you just buy an index, not through an annuity? They don't have to pay a commission to somebody. Remember, you're paying that commission. Well, that means that you put in $100,000. You're not really putting in $100,000. You're putting in $95,000. But if you bought an index yourself, you're putting up the whole $100,000. So I would do that rather than buy an annuity. Just my suggestion. On the next Invest Talk, the story behind the headline, home sales fell nearly 6%. So that's going to be kind of a big issue. I want to talk about that tomorrow because housing is very important. I was going to talk about it a little bit today, but I'll hold that off until tomorrow. Okay, the leading economic indicator report came out today. Leading economic indicator shrank 0.4%. They expected it to shrink 0.5%. And last month, the month before, it shrank 0.7%. Now, what this does is telling you what the economy is going to look like 3, 4, 5 months in the future. And this has been falling now for 4 months in a row. So the LEI is telling us that we are going to be in a recession. Now, technically, we already are, right? Two quarters in a row, negative growth, boom, we're in a recession. It's a very weird recession because, you know, technically they meet the definition, but, you know, there's been no call recession by the various responsible entities that tell you that, tell us, the government's in a recession, tell in the government that tells the public that we're in a recession. So it's unusual. Jobless claims finally stabilized at 250,000. And that's a weekly report. 250,000 unemployment claims for this most recent week. The week before, it was 252,000. And that was like 4 or 5, 6 weeks in a row of rising numbers. Slowly rising, but rising. Okay, so it looks like it now evened out, 252,000 to 250. So the next couple of weeks will be interesting. So are we in a recession? I'm telling you we are, because I'm going to just go back. I just go back to what the term we've used for years and years and years, what a recession is. Two quarters in a row of shrinkage GDP. Then that's exactly what we had. That's a recession. Now, we don't have the unemployment rate we usually get in a recession. We don't have certain things going up. We have high inflation in this recession. Is that stagflation? No growth in the economy, but inflation? That's stagflation. Isn't that by definition stagflation? I don't know. You can argue with me about that. I don't see anybody writing about it very much. I mean, it's mentioned here and there. But isn't that what stagflation is? With high inflation, no economic growth, or very slow economic growth. That's not healthy. And it feels like that's what we're in to me. Let's bring it back to another InvestTalk voicemail question, okay? But this one came from earlier from Arizona.
Hello, it's Art from Tucson calling. Today I'm calling about Verizon, VZ. It looks pretty cheap, has a really nice dividend, but was just recently downgraded. And wondered if you thought it's a buying opportunity or a value trap. And I'll listen on the podcast. Thank you.
I doubt seriously it's a value trap, by the way. Warren Buffett sold all his Verizon last quarter, all out of Berkshire Hathaway, sold it all. I frankly think this is a buying opportunity myself here at $44. They're going to make $5.26 next year. They're going to make $5.19 this year. So $5.26, and it's a $44 stock. So the PE is 8. 5-year range is 8 to 14. They pay a 5.8% dividend. Return on equity is 30%. Cash flow is $9.27. Mutual funds are buying over the last year. So I think it's a buy at this price. Only time will tell us. But, I mean, it's a value. There's lots of value in it. Everybody knows who Verizon is, what they do. So how can it... I think it's a good bargain at this price. Now, you buy this for the dividend. You don't buy it for the growth. It might go back up to $60 eventually, $60 a share. But I doubt seriously it'd go much higher than that if it does. So it's not going to give you a huge return. You don't buy it for that. You buy it for that 5.8% dividend, and that's not in danger. So what do you care if a price goes up or down, as long as you get your 5.8%? And they have plenty of cash flow to pay it. So I kind of like it. Okay. We're rolling through the hottest summer days, and this is the time of the year when market volatility is generally higher. Volatility means you need to pay attention, everybody. You need to have current strategies. No matter how hot it might be outside, you need to stay cool. So it's worth taking a minute to make you aware of some of the things, some of the benefits KPP Financial can provide. Steve Peasley, that's me, and Justin Klein are the principals and what we can do for you. We're in Orange County, California. That's between LA and San Diego counties. And, you know, at KPP Financial, we operate with a philosophy of independent thinking and shared success. And so how does that get implemented? Well, one of the ways is first, it would always provide unbiased guidance. We don't pay anybody for guidance. You'd really be surprised that happens all the time. We don't. And, you know, we've mentioned many times parallel investing. We buy the same things for ourselves as our clients, the same time, same price. We have a number of programs from very risky to not too risky to very not risky, actually. And it depends on what you want to do with your money. You can participate in one program, one of the programs or several if you want. It's up to you. So I encourage you to take advantage of our free offer to take a look at your portfolio and tell you what we think about it. You know, we'll talk about the risk that you're taking in that portfolio. And then we try to find out what your risk is, your personal risk, and see if they match up. We can do that via telephone, Skype, or go to meetings. You can send us a message to investtalk.com, an email that comes directly to our desks, or you can call KPP Financial in Irvine, California, any one of those ways. After speaking with us a few minutes, I think you'll see the difference. I really do. We do want to help you, and we will. If you let us, we will. Okay? 888-99-CHARTER is our number. Let's go to Bob in Ohio.
Yeah. Hi, Steve. I've been doing some research on just some like Chinese stocks. I do own Alibaba. I picked it up around $90, and I do like the company as a whole. But I was doing some research into Alibaba today, and I saw that they were having some issues with their housing market. Yes. And I kind of went down a rabbit hole, and it looks a little bit darker than I guess I want it to look like. Is that worrisome to you? Am I just getting freaked out by the news?
No, it's worrisome. I talked about it earlier in the show about the housing problem they have, and that's a big problem, and they've had it for a while. They've been hiding it for a while, and now it's coming. You know, some of their bigger builders can't finish projects, and they've already sold the units, and they borrowed money to build the projects. And, you know, it's a matter of, will a Chinese federal government come in to save them? They always have in the past. But this problem is getting bigger and bigger and bigger because they don't let anything collapse, you know, anything go under. But this time they seem to be hesitating about stepping in. So I think you're going to find out that the Chinese economy is going to start. We know this growth is only going to scheduled to grow 4% this year. So it's ratcheting down the growth. But frankly, I think they might even be in recession. They just can hide it and not tell us about it. Okay. Now, will it affect Alibaba? Isn't Alibaba one of the stocks that's going to be delisted, or did I not read that? Maybe nope. That got changed?
They remember? Are going to get delisted, that is correct.
So then yeah, you're going to have a harder time selling it. Not that you can't, it's just going to be difficult for you. So Alibaba provides global online and mobile retail marketing via Taobao and Tmall, and so they're it's a great company as far as what their business model is. I like it, but I think I'd stay away from it because of it's Chinese and the problems with our, you know, I don't think us and China are going to butt heads, and it's going to continue to be a problem. So I probably avoid it myself. Okay.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for the call, Bob. I appreciate it. Next up, let's play another caller question from our toll-free anytime listener line. It's the voice bank number 888-99-CHART. So just hang on.
Why do listener questions make InvestTalk better?
Which of these would you recommend?
Because each caller presents fresh questions in their voice.
When do I know the right time to take profits?
And listeners instinctively realize that InvestTalk uniquely offers a welcome dose of investing satisfaction.
I think you have a terrific show, and I've learned a whole lot.
So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Rick from Colorado. I was wondering how you set your target price to sell. Let's say you buy something at the bottom of its five-year PE range. Do you extrapolate that out to the top of its five-year PE range to sell, or do you pick something in the middle? Looking forward to hearing the answer on the show. Thanks.
If we use that as a trigger, that just a simple PE, we would use a trigger of maybe we'd probably use the Fibonacci numbers, maybe 60% rise from the top to the bottom of a range that the stock sells in. But yeah, it wouldn't be a 50% rise. We'd have to see a bit more than that of the range, you know, the PE range. But we don't generally use the PE as a reason to get out. That's because the PE it changes all the time. The E changes. Okay, the price changes. Everything changes. And what if we see an opportunity here that you know, they have some, you know, for instance, let's talk about the most recent, the act that the Congress just passed. They say it's Inflation Reduction Act, which is not. You can't spend $800 billion and say that it's going to reduce inflation, no matter how you say it. But let's talk about that. They're spending a huge amount of money in the energy, the clean energy sector. So, if the PEs go up, I may let it run if I'm in one of those types of stocks that's going to benefit from all the money the government's spending on that over the next 10 years. So, you know, you may not. That's why we don't just use the PE as a range, as a trigger. The PE range as a trigger. I wouldn't suggest that. I would not. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and we have one goal here, everybody, and that's always to help you achieve financial freedom. We all want that. And our work will continue right after this break, so get your questions in. 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk is all about above average investing for the average investor.
And the question is, during a market downturn, do dividends stay fairly steady?
I wanted to see if you thought that was a safer place to park the money for long term.
Just kind of wondering if this stock is a value trap.
What's your question? You're the best person to ask it. 888-99-CHART.
Your objective is to work hard, plan well, and achieve financial freedom, right? You're in luck because Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your finance and investment questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve and Justin. This is Eddie from Montana. First of all, thank you for all you guys do. Really appreciate the work that you put in. My question would be, in my 401k, since I have limited investment options, looking at the slight terminal market in right now, between small, mid, and large cap funds, how would you allocate your fixed percentage of money? You know, my risk being slightly higher since I'm younger, I don't mind some higher risk. Appreciate all the help, guys. Thank you.
Well, the highest risk, of course, is the small, then medium and large. But in this market conditions we're in, I think the better move will come and more safe move will become from the large cap. So I probably, you know, if you're young and you want risk, maybe 50% in the large cap and split it between 25 and 25 small and mid. You don't have very good choices in your 401k most of the time. It's just, you just can't. I'd rather see you have a value position as opposed to growth position. So, but you probably don't have those choices. You know, you're limited. But, you know, the reason why I say value versus growth, when the environment changed from lowering interest rates to now raising interest rates, growth stocks don't fare as well in a rising interest rate environment. So not that they won't work, it's just they work less well and sometimes poorly because of the cost of money. Remember, these high growth stocks usually don't make money. They burn money. They got to borrow it. They got to produce it. They got to get it from somewhere. So it makes it tougher for them. Okay? Okay, are we in a new bull market, or are we in a bear market still, or is this a bear trap? It's, you know, very good question. We're up 25% from the June lows, 25% up from the low. Now, we're still way down from a year, you know, the beginning of the year, but we've had a pretty strong move. A lot of pundits, many of them feel it's too far too fast, that 25% jump since the end of June. Too far, too fast. So they think that there's going to be a pullback, a retracement of some kind. They say that everybody should expect a retest of the lows. But one of the things that's encouraging about this move up from the low we've already had, it was kind of broad-based. It wasn't just one sector or two sectors. It's broadly based. A lot of things were moving up. So that kind of tells me that maybe we won't have a retest of the lows. I can see the market giving back some of the gains. But, you know, the other issues are the Federal Reserve and what they're going to do. My gut feeling, I think we've seen the lows in this cycle. That doesn't mean that it's going to continue to go up. I just think we've seen the lows. Now, just this week, the S&P 500, the index, rose up and touched the 200-day moving average. That's a very significant long-term resistance point for the S&P 500 index. If it can't break above that, then we're heading back down. And I'm concerned that we might not. It's got to break above it with some gusto, and then it'll have a new leg of a run up, probably. We'll see if it can do it. So no one knows where it's going to go. Don't ever believe anybody what they're saying. They're just giving their best guess. Now, it might be a guess with education and historical experience and all those things. That's true. So it makes them a better guess than just anybody on the street, but it's still a guess. My guess is I think we've seen the lows in this cycle. Something really has to happen for us, this recession that we're in. It's got to get much deeper. Then, boom, you'll see us retesting, maybe go below those lows. Something's going to happen bad for us to do that. And I just don't see it. I don't see it yet. I'm Steve Peasley, and this concludes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about the free podcast downloads. We really appreciate that. So get your downloads free. You can do it anytime you want at iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. And if you get it from iTunes, please be sure and review and rate us. We would love that. You know, a good rating always helps our profile, and a bad rating doesn't, but, you know, it's up to you. Independent thing and share success, everybody. This is InvestTalk. Have a great night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.